You're listening to the Dream Job Podcast. I am Shamari Block, here with Adam Close and Alan Styles. Gentlemen, how we feel today?
Feeling good.
Feeling great, living better.
Ah, man. We've had sports this last couple of weeks. We had a little baseball. We've had a little hoops, a lot of hoops, a lot of really good hoops. Today, we're going to go over all of it. And we're going to start it off with the NFL, specifically the 49ers. So the Niners, they're in training camp. George Kittle famously, I mean, maybe not so famously for me, showed up with a Jimmy G shirt on, or Jimmy G showed up with a George Kittle shirt on. And then Trent Taylor was like, hey, you're stealing my best friend. That was interesting. But more importantly, though, this offseason, the Niners lost a Joe Staley. They let a Buckner go. They let Emmanuel Sanders go to the Saints, which is just horrible idea, but I'll get into that later. And they're replacing with rookies Brandon Ayuk, rookie Javon Kinlaw, and then Trent Taylor comes over to slide in his Staley's position. There have been other moves. They just picked up the tight end from
Jordan Reed
from the Washington football team. I'm going to have a great time saying that for the next year, the Washington football team. So let's get it started, man. So those are the moves. What do you guys think? What do you think? Are they better? Are they worse? Are they the same?
I think they're got to be better because they're returning the core, another year under Shanahan, another year development with Garoppolo. I think they nipped the Raheem Mostert thing in the bud. Unless next week there's a cavalcade of 49ers showing up trying to renegotiate their contract, I guess that remains to be seen. I got to think they're better, but also the NFC West got better. So let's not go delivering ourselves flowers yet. What do you think, Alan? What do you think about their offseason so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think a team like the Niners, who it's interesting because we talked last week about Major League Baseball and stars and faces of the league. And the Niners don't really have that yet. They're one of these teams that is just, to Shamari's argument last week about the ultimate team sport, the Niners kind of are that, right? Everybody does their part, even though George Kittle is the star, they all do their part. I look at the moves that they made so far and kind of surprised that there's a guy who, you know, back in the day, he had a little celebration where he opened his arms. He played for a team that the Niners used to do battle with a quarterback that's from the Bay Area. His name is Aaron Rodgers. Clay Matthews is a free agent right now, you know, to shore up the pass rush. That's a move that I think they should make that they haven't made yet. And they go with a Jordan Reed, who a number two tight end is really good, but that number two tight end has to be able to be on the field. And that's something that we have not seen from Jordan Reed. Obviously he's dealt with concussions and a bunch of just horrible situations. Hopefully this is kind of a steal for the Niners, but I still think there are a couple moves that are low risk, possibly high reward that they could make.
It's funny that you say that they George Kittle is their star, right? Like, if your star player is your tight end, man, you might be lacking in star power. That's not a slight, right? Super Bowl last year, that's not a slight. And yeah. So people are saying that George Kittle is not worthy of being the highest paid tight end in football because he's a system tight end. And I would argue vehemently that he is the only player on that team that isn't a result of the system. He's the only player on that team that goes to 31 of the other teams in the NFL and balls next season regardless because he's great.
Right. I don't understand the whole – I don't know what it is about Bay Area teams and people think these systems, maybe it's because we have the tech industry, Bamani talking about Steph Curry, best system player ever. I don't understand it. If you think George Kittle is a system player, go ahead and watch that last play from them against the Saints last season. Like, that is not a system play.
To me, it looks like the system is throw him the ball and then let him run through everybody. That is not much of a system. That is raw power, speed, and athleticism. And this all the system does, which is your basic West Coast offense, throw short passes, have guys that can run with the ball afterwards. And Deebo Samuel does that. Brandon Ayuk apparently is that guy. Kittle is obviously that guy. And I guess that's a system, but everybody does that. Gronkowski did that. Aaron Hernandez was really good at that before everybody found out he was a sociopath.
You shouldn't be slighted for being successful in the system that you play. Steph Curry go to another team and not be able to get off? Like that dude, they created the system for him. The Steph Curry example, and actually Bomani was on 95.7 explaining himself at length about the Steph Curry comments. So I actually appreciate that. That's one of my favorite guys. He got a one of them real long Arsenio Hall fingers.
Yeah. No, big Bomani Jones guy as well. So then actually when I saw that, I'm like, man, now I'm torn because Bay Area guy, he's out here talking about my guy. I do think though that talking about some of the other teams but still talking about tight ends, you look at the Cleveland Browns who picks up an Austin Hooper, right? I think he's a little underrated. Shout out De La Salle. same school. So yeah, and that's a team where Odell can use that help, right? So there's been a couple different moves like that haven't been the biggest ones. Like I think Austin Hooper going to the Browns is a bigger deal than Rob Gronkowski going to the Bucks personally.
Well, I mean, it might be
the biggest move to me involving the Niners in particular was losing Emmanuel Sanders to the Saints. Because you got Breeze, you got Michael Thomas. Not only are you now weaker in your receiving core, you're also now you have to deal with the Saints, and they're even more dangerous because they have Sanders. Of all the moves they made, I get letting Buckner walk, sort of.
Do you know what the Saints paid Emmanuel Sanders?
Not a lot.
Okay. I just know
we can look it up, but he didn't.
He's about 100.
Yeah, he didn't.
And I know he didn't. He had a lot of catches last year. He had an okay season. He didn't ball last year, though.
Yeah, but you're talking Michael Thomas on one side.
Yeah.
So anybody that's legit.
Drew Brees and Jimmy Garoppolo, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Dang.
I'll be honest. Garoppolo's my guy. Super Bowl loss is not his fault. And he is a quarterback you can win a Super Bowl with. I don't think Drew Brees misses that throw to the corner of the end zone in the fourth quarter. But Drew Brees, we're talking about Drew Brees here, okay? So whatever. He's not going to miss Emmanuel Sanders ever. And he rarely misses Michael Thomas. And that is going to – that because that's your competition. You're the Niners. Yeah, right. the Seahawks. Yeah, the Rams might be good again. Yeah, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals and blah, blah, and the Eagles and the thises and the thats and the Bears. But the Saints – you're going to have to beat the Saints to get to another Super Bowl. And that was just like double-edged sword that like catches you in the face and then somehow swings down and hits you in the testicles.
That's got to be one of the most detailed explanations I've ever heard in my
life. For a football
play. for football play. Yeah, so it's definitely interesting, all the moves that have been made. Oh, sidebar, speaking of the, you know, just who is going to be on the field, the players that did opt out for the Patriots, one of the biggest free agent signings, one of the biggest with the smallest contracts, Cam Newton to the Patriots. I believe it was, as far as the skill players were concerned, one backup running back and a fullback. So not that they had much to begin with, but it shouldn't necessarily affect Cam on offense. But that's another free agent signing that definitely got the most pub that we're just waiting to see what is the Cam Newton experience going to be in New England.
Quickly to your point about Austin Hooper, the national sports media might not be reacting to offseason transactions by the Cleveland Browns because last year they shot their load a little prematurely on that. The whole summer, that's all anyone talked about was all of these signings, Landry and Odell Beckham. And they went out there and won no games. So maybe they're just having a little bit of a pendulum swing back the other way.
Right, right. Like, how many commercials did we have to see with Odell and Landry? And it just nothing from that.
I stopped eating Snickers altogether.
Right, right, right. As always, you are listening to the Dream Job Podcast with Alan Stiles, Shamari Block, and Adam Close. It's baseball time. We are 1/6 through the MLB season. So, of course, it's time to panic or proclaim that you will be the champion. Obviously, there's only two options when it comes to sports. So when it comes to the Giants with a nice 5-6 record, it's panic time, even though we spent the whole offseason talking about how they weren't going to be good. And in my opinion, 5-6 actually isn't that bad for what we thought they would do. And if you're an A's fan, you're in first place. You're in first place ahead of the Astros. Astros are hanging around, even though they're not, they don't have the same
results. The same,
they don't have the same, they don't have the same tools that they have had in the past. They are hanging around. But again, we're talking about an A's team that's 6-4 and an Astros team that's 5-4. The only reason the Giants look a little, you know, further down is because the Rockies, for some reason, are 7-2, which nobody could have guessed. So
put some respect on their name.
I don't mind the Rockies. Hey, if I play with the Rockies, I could have 10 bombs right now.
Arenado, that dude's a stud. He's been a stud forever.
Right. So how are you guys feeling about the baseball season so far and what the teams are doing, and specifically Gabe Kapler?
Oh, Gabe Kapler. Gabe Kapler right now is everything I expected out of Gabe Kapler, and that's not a compliment. When you talk about it, when you talk about Gabe Kapler, and I go back to his early days with the Phillies, and I just remember seeing the report of, this guy used 74 pitchers in 2.5 games, right? And that's the thing he's doing. And hey, one game under 500 is way better than I thought they would be right now, okay? And I'm not going to say he's doing a horrible job, but just the things that he's doing, it just he's prone to having bad looks. And it makes it seem like things are worse than they actually are. And right. I guess you should temper that, because again, one game under 500, didn't think they'd be there. Split with the Dodgers, didn't think they'd be there. And this is my rule. This is my rule of watching Giants baseball. If you lose every game and then you win the season series with the Dodgers, I appreciate that, Skipper, okay? Just beat LA. And he did that in LA. So I give him credit. But again, if you listen to sports talk in the Bay Area, he just sounds bad. He just sounds bad when he's being interviewed, and they're like, why did you do this bizarre off the wall thing? And then he's like, well, you know, we are going to review that, but you would think this, but the statistics say blah, 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 blah. Like, we, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah, man. I'll get to Gabe Kapler in a second. The Giants are crazy, because people are like upset that they're 5-6. Like, they have a 0-11 talent roster. So for people to call in, and I'll get to Kapler in a second, because he deserves everything I'm about to give him. For people to call into the station and talk about how the Giants not could be, should be 7-4, it's like, dude, you guys have the most errors in the league.
Right.
You have no aces. You have no, like Shamari said last week, you have no outfielders. You have no left side of the infield. I guess Jordan Crawford's field, Brandon Crawford is fielding okay. I think he's batting 108 or something like that. Hunter Pence has zero hits. I didn't see the triple that he allegedly had. I'm sure there were errors. now for Kapler. I had the privilege of playing for a very fundamental, no behind the back basketball coach. He's the second most winningest coach, over 600 wins. We ran a motion offense, all this stuff. And he always said, you could dunk, you could go behind the back, you could go through the legs. If you turn the ball over, you're coming out and you're not going back in. So Gabe Kapler is out there going behind the back on the baseball from manager position. He's throwing it off the backboard for no reason. Shoot the layup, dude. Like, that's why people are upset about it. Shoot the layup. Don't send Pablo Sandoval up there when he has no hits ever. You know what I mean? You got a couple guys waiting in the wings that are batting over 400. Maybe try one of those guys. I'm the basketball guy, and I can see that. So when I can see him make that error as a fan, I'm like, I'm upset about that. And then when I watch the post, to Shamari's point, when I watch the post-game interview and he's callous about it and he has this like, you guys just don't understand it sort of mentality. I take offense to that because I would love an explanation. You know, I would love an actual like, here's why we did that. Teach me as the layman, teach me since you're the expert. But that's not what he's doing. He's kind of being like, ha, 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 I'm a millionaire. So I'm off of him, honestly. And whatever good feelings he garnered by kneeling in the opening game of the season, his performance has ebbed that for me. So how do you feel, Helen?
I just don't understand. Well, first of all, the 0-11 roster, Yaz is going to get you one. Yaz is going to get you one.
Just on DNA alone.
Yaz is going to get you one. He's getting us more than one right now. But here's my thing.
I think he might have gotten you guys five.
I think people are just – I think this is a little ridiculous because, okay, the pitching issue that happened where he went out and shouldn't have went out, it didn't affect the game. Tyler Rogers had already given up four runs. But, again, I get it. It just didn't look good. Know the game, right? Know the game. And he actually did something similar in Philadelphia. But at this point, I'm just trying to figure out how Gabe Kapler got the job because no one seems to be rooting for him. Like I said, we go into a season where we talked about how the Giants weren't going to be good. I guess they split the series against the Dodgers after a bizarre off period. And now the Giants, what, they have expectations? The best player in Yaz is still a 30-year-old second-year guy, and they still have the same tired roster that they started the season with. I don't know if everyone is just hyped up because of the new playoff format. So we can say, hey, the Giants made the playoffs in what, an asterisk riddled season. We know they're not going to win it all. Hunter Pence is batting a .038. He's 1-for-26. And that's your DH.
Did we really think Hunter Pence was going to come in here and tear it up though? Did anybody really?
No, but that's my point. That's my point. Why is this going to Gabe Kapler? Crawford is hitting .207. The pitching isn't built for this lackluster offense, okay? A bunch of players that finally got to the big leagues. Oh, and by the way, it's management who still won't let you bring up your top prospect, okay?
That's because Farhan isn't doing interviews. Gabe Kapler is the mouthpiece.
This is what I'm hearing.
I mean, hey, he's kind of the patsy, right? He's kind of like, all right, so I'm going to do a bunch of stuff here, and you're going to go out there and take the bullets. Huh?
I'm starting to think they set him up. I think they set him up, but this is what it's turning into.
Well, he's a Tom Sula? Not all the organizations in the Bay Area ran like that.
What's the argument here? Hey, we knew we were going to stink, but we shouldn't stink this bad. Is that really what we've come to?
Really? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like I said earlier, it just looks bad. It looks, and when you say people like we should be 7-4, like it's we shouldn't. Honestly, we're lucky to be 5-6. Exactly. But it's just that it looks weird after what, a decade plus of Bruce Bochy's brilliance. And then it's like, oh, what is this Yahoo doing? Because, you know, you learn the game from Bochy. And when you listen to Kruk and Kipe, then you learn, like, I feel like I learned baseball from Kruk and Kipe, right? And I know what it's supposed to look like, at least in the traditional sense. And that is not what Gabe Kapler is doing. And I'm an open-minded individual. I really, really am. It looks weird to me. But I again, 5-6 is acceptable. One game over, I feel one game under 500 gets you into the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no, it's right there. It's right there for sure. Alan, you're a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
So you've seen the Raiders truck off games that they were supposed to win. And it's frustrating. Like, why didn't you out of bounds? Why'd you hold that guy? Why, you know? That's what we're watching with the Giants. Because it's like, so people are clamoring over two games, right? Over two or three games that they potentially these Gabe gafflers is what they're calling him, right?
I like that.
It's frustrating because as a fan, you don't mind guys striking out. You don't mind guys trying their best and not succeeding. You do mind people thinking poorly.
Right.
And that's what not going out of bounds is, or that's what letting a delay a game penalty happen. So now you're out of field goal range that the Raiders are famous for, you know? Right. And that's kind of what we're seeing in San Francisco. Do you guys have any last thoughts on that?
Yeah. And it's what I mean, I don't know if the numbers bear this out, but I feel like the shift gets beat way more than it should. And maybe they should be a little less shifty.
Yeah.
I've seen that shift get beat.
I wanted to ask you this specifically, Alan, and I have no chance at hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but I might hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. I could definitely hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball the wrong way. I've always wondered, and it's been ever since they put the shift on Barry, but I've always wondered, you could bat 900.
You can. It's the same. Now, we got to just do another episode for that because I don't understand it either. It's really just more of a...
Is it a pride thing?
It really just speaks to, I guess, at the end of the day, you're trying to, I don't know. I'll put it to you like this. If, I don't know, who's a really big, like Albert Pujols. If they put on a shift for Albert Pujols.
Right.
Some of these bigger guys, they're not getting paid for singles. So could Brandon Belt bunt it pretty much every time? Yeah, and Brandon Belt's a terrible example because he just wants walks in singles anyway. But a power hitter that there's a crazy shift on, you're not there because you're stuck on first base. Now, when I see Ozzie Albies, who's my height on the Braves, who hits behind Ronald Acuna Jr. as a lefty, and the shift is on and you're not bunting, and we know you can steal a base.
That's a double.
I'm going to sound old, but you know, I just don't understand it. I don't. Right. I don't.
Okay.
These kids today.
I'm glad. Do you have any thoughts on the shift, Shamari?
No. Yeah, I was just saying these kids today. Yeah.
All right. Well, then why don't we shift it to the NBA? You're listening to the Dream Job Podcast. My name is Adam Close with Alan Stiles and Shamari Block. As always, yo, NBA is cracking. It's going down.
It's on one right now.
It's
bananas. Oh, man.
Turned it on. 45 seconds later, screaming profanities at the television. So basketball's back, baby.
Yep.
tell me your thoughts, guys.
I think that, you know, obviously the Lakers clinched the one seed. I think the Lakers look good. I think the Bucks look like they are still the Bucks, which is good for Warriors fans. Giannis watch is still happening. But like we talked about, with no fans, it's a pride thing. Now we have TJ Warren dropping 50. Now we have the Suns beating the Clippers. Devin Booker with a dope Kobe-esque shot over Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But it's the Suns against the Clippers. I don't know if this is going to affect the playoffs because obviously you're playing, it's a series, not just one-off games. But it is so refreshing to watch this and know that so much pride is on the line because it's just me and you, and we can't even go back home and see our family after the game or go to the club unless you're Lou Williams. I could not say that. But you can't – you know, it's literally –
for wings.
Right. You're literally there to hoop. So you're going to hoop to the best of your abilities, and that is what is refreshing to watch.
I mean, I just – the games themselves are exciting, like – there's lots of close games, lots of buzzer beaters. It's kind of everything you'd expect. And one unintended, maybe intended consequence by leaving the lesser teams home is that you don't get, you know, you don't get those blowouts of a far superior team. So all these games are really, really good. And that's made it all the more exciting. Like you said, the buzzer beaters, the last second, the close games like that, that's keeping you interested. My main thing is this, okay? I wonder how much these games can tell us about the playoffs? Because I really don't think there's, like, I think once the playoffs start, it's going to be a whole nother creature, especially because of, I mean, I'm sure LeBron is, like, playing his hardest, but we all know LeBron doesn't show up until game 7 of the conference finals, right? And guys are kind of easing back into it. As older teams like the Lakers get back into the groove, like, are they going to take off more? Are they going to catch up to some of these younger teams that are killing it right now, right? Like, what happens once the playoffs start? I don't know that what's happening right now, which is exciting as all get out. I just don't know if you can look at some of these games like the Suns and say, all right, well, the Suns stand a chance now because, or whatever. But I think these close games are a result of the conditions right now, and the playoffs are going to be a whole nother monster.
Well, I think the playoffs will be more intense, higher competition. Just because if there's already this level of competition, the playoffs mean that much more. I've been fascinated by how bad the refereeing is, first and foremost. Because I don't have a team playing at the bubble. I'm not cheering for any of the teams in the bubble, right? I'm just watching basketball, and the officials miss so much. And you think they'd be better. I think they'd be less distracted without the fans there, but maybe that's just a personal thing. I want to talk about something I was talking about last week. And Alan, we were all talking about this, but Alan, you might have brought it up, where it's an open court environment. It's an open gym environment. It's a lot more one-on-one, mano-a-mano, look into your eyes and go by somebody, put them on your shoulder and put it over your. And I was watching the Mavericks play the Rockets, and Seth Curry was out there. And I was watching, paying particular attention to Seth Curry, because there's an Instagram page called the Bucket Center. It's this this dude named Caleb from Southern California who's never played basketball and has 100 million followers and has all these opinions that are strictly from watching the game. So it's interesting to listen to someone who knows less about things than me. But he was talking about how Seth Curry was poised to have this breakout season. Look at all these big games he's had. Y'all sleeping on Seth Curry, da, da, da. I'm like, dude can't guard. I'd give Seth Curry 20, or Seth Curry 20. Dude, he's like 6'3", 170 pounds. He can't guard anyone in the NBA. One play, open, Russell Westbrook just runs right by him, dunks it. Just runs directly by him, dunks him, rocks the baby because he's too small. Very next play, and I'm texting my friends. I'm like, man, Seth Curry got no chance guarding Russell Westbrook. Very next play, he matches up on Austin Rivers. Like, oh, this is Austin Rivers, shake, 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 layup. Like, hold on.
Right.
Russell Westbrook is too big for you, and Austin Rivers is too quick for you. Who are you going to guard in the NBA, Seth?
Why do you that's why the Currys can shoot so well,
right? Yeah,
well,
you hopefully you make up for it with the points, but also how many people can guard Russell Westbrook really?
Right, right,
you just wait for him to miss, okay? That's how you guard Russell Westbrook. You right. just wait for him to only connect 30%
yeah. of the time, yeah. Just shoot right. a three, just shoot yeah. a three.
The Rockets looked all right though, man. I know I said that last week, but it kind of James Harden's going to be tough, dude.
I mean, the Rockets really – that the Rockets are one of those teams that they really do. They look really, really good. But playoff basketball, unless you're the Warriors, right, then playoff basketball. But playoff basketball, slower pace, blah, 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 bigger right. players. I don't – that's one of the things I'm curious to see. Because right now it seems like everyone's on a relative level playing field. But that is not true. There is cream here. It's going to rise to the top. Yeah. And I think it's going to happen fairly early in the playoffs.
If size is an indication of success, the Lakers are going to have – you're going to have an issue scoring inside against the Lakers because LeBron could play point guard. He could be the smallest dude on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think – at least I didn't realize how – long this seeding period was going to be. The playoffs don't start until like August 18th. So now you're looking at the Lakers, like how much is LeBron going to play? They already clinched the one seed, and how much at this point, how much more working out does he need to do to keep his stamina up? I'm not sure. I'm really interested, and I believe Shamara, you picked the Clippers as well, because and that's who I picked. But now I'm thinking, and it's like, this is kind of a new model, right? This model of we just want to get to the playoffs, and there's literally a whole conversation to be had about the Clippers just not really caring about the idea of team chemistry, right? Like, they have time, but I don't know how many times they've played as – sure, you always have someone banged up. They're main guys playing together. So, like I said, they still have a couple weeks, but I talk to my buddy who's a Clipper fan. I guess Montrez is coming back soon. But it's like, you guys got to start playing together. I don't really care that you lost to the Lakers because you didn't have – Montrez, you didn't have Lou. Then you lose to the Suns. But it's like, you never have everyone. You never have everyone.
Do you think that them coming together for the first round of the playoffs for the first time is going to bode well for them?
I have no clue. I mean, I think when you see a LeBron who can take it off, I think they're going to – the Clippers are really going to have to use that time because they're not using the time now. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have to get right, and they're going to be able to because they are superior, but it's going to be interesting.
But, I mean, the Clippers, you don't – it's not like they're the Warriors or the Spurs where you run this complex offense with all this ball movement and things like that.
That's true.
The advantage is they have a whole bunch of wing scoring, and then they have a whole bunch of wing defense, which to me is how you defend –
Basketball defense does take cohesion, though. That does take a coming together. Different than offense, though.
True.
So, I that said, the Clippers day one should be the best team, defensive team in the NBA. I haven't seen it, though. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard didn't stop Devin Booker yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Touche.
They're supposed to be those two dudes. They're supposed to be two of the top five. And Devin Booker, last time I checked, never sniffed a winning season. So he shouldn't be able to take over games. I get it's a regular season. I don't know, man. The Clippers have had a lot of good teams before. And I know that it's weird that it works like this, but like you gotta do it. And I don't know that this is. I don't know that this fractured season is the way for the first Clippers championship to come to fruition.
Right.
I could see a lot of other teams. I could see the Trailblazers being the Clippers. Just on some chemistry hype.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sizzler right there. But
right.
But the Clippers, don't look great. The Clippers don't look great.
When Dame and CJ get hot. It's Nurkic. Almost impossible. Yeah, it's almost impossible to beat those guys.
Yeah, Blazers are always a dark horse pick, so I'm not gonna get on that train. But you're welcome to.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, they're not gonna win. I'm just they could.
Right. But thanks everybody for listening to the Dream Job Podcast, guys. Why don't we plug our socials so they can find us on social media and tell us if we were right or wrong.
My name is Adam from Genesis on Instagram. Let me know. DM me if you're a guy. Don't DM me if you're a woman. That's inappropriate.
DM me if you're a woman. I'm comfortable with this. My name is Shamari Block. You can hit me at Shamari Block on Instagram. My Twitter is TheBlockIsHot3. And as always, let's argue.
And I am... @_StylesFiles, Styles with an I on Instagram and Twitter. Anybody can DM me. You just got to be talking about the right stuff. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, be safe, be well, be wise. Peace.